Welcome back to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast. It's been 2 weeks since we did a show. Not much to talk about in the final back-to-back years, actually. Now, life got in the way for Marshall. He lost his voice. The only voice he could even use, being a teacher, he needed that. So we had to shut this puppy down. We thought we were going to take a break anyway. We usually do before the playoffs. But we are here now for the playoffs. Like I said, the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast is back again. It's good to be back. And we're going to break down all these game ones. I mean, Saturday, two out of the four games, very competitive. That Golden State sack for game one series in general looked great on paper. Boy, did we get ourselves a good game. And then on Sunday, yesterday, three out of the four road teams won. And one of the road teams that didn't win got their ass kicked. That's the Timberwolves. So that's all we need to talk about on that series. But, yeah, it was pretty crazy, man. You had Ja and Giannis go out. Seems like Giannis is, they're a little bit more optimistic about his return. The MRI came back good, so that's good. Speaking of injury, Hero broke his hand in that one, but we had all sorts of upsets and just like, LA won. Miami upset the Bucks, obviously, with Giannis going out. The shorthanded Clippers beat Phoenix. That was pretty big. The Knicks got a win on the road. I mean, we knew this thing, especially in the West, right? It might take a little while for these East to get really like, oh, I'm really pumped about the matchup. But I think we're going to have some I think that Knicks-Cavs series is going to be really good. But, yeah, man, we knew the West was going to be wild, Marshall. We knew it. We totally knew it. But, man, it is 100% wild so far. If this is your first time listening to the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadope radio. You don't have to go to blogtalk and ropeadope and download the show there. You can if you want. If not, you can find this year NBA show under the ropeadope radio platform on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Player FM, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Spreaker, Stitcher, a host of other places. One more thing, while you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com or Sports News 24. And one more thing here, get your TV together without the hassle of cable. DirecTV Stream. Stream the best entertainment in sports, starting with 75 live channels. And for a limited time, save $120 over the first year when you get any package and buy the DirecTV streaming device. There's no annual contract. Ugh. No annual contracts. No hidden fees. Plus, learn how to get premium channels included for the first 3 months with qualifying packages. Sign up today, DirecTV Stream. Okay. Go ahead and bring in my co-host, Marshall. Man, what a fun first couple days. Pretty fun playing as well. Like I said, we knew the West was going to be wild, and wild it was.
Yes, that's a great answer. And, I mean, to know that LeBron is a 7 seed, but that team had played like a 7 seed. Man, and the King, it's cool to have Sacramento back. Talk about a fan base who had a really good run in the early 2000s and late 90s, and that's one of those teams where that's the only sport team that city has. They've been a loyal fan base for a long time and have had very few moments to enjoy. Obviously, I'm cheering for the Warriors. That's been my team for a long time, but it was cool to see just a fan base have their first game in over a decade and win the game and just have a really raucous environment. So, yes, the West is a lot of fun. Predictions are kind of just wide open right now, Chris. And yeah, the West is, I don't know. I think you could, let's just say when we were making our college basketball predictions, like, hey, this is a wide open tournament, for March Madness. I think it's kind of the same for the West this year. Like the Lakers could win the West. I think KD could win the West. I think Kawhi Leonard, if they're healthy, could win the West. The Grizzlies, like they had a good year. Like if Ja's healthy, like, you could make an argument for a lot of teams, Chris, and that's normally not the case for the NBA. The NBA, normally, it was like, hey, I'll give you two teams and you give me like the field. Like, and you could normally do pretty well, but yeah.
Or like, I can't wait to the Western Conference final, or I can't wait till this series, or, you know, you'd be looking at future series and stuff.
Yeah. And in this situation this year, I mean, even with the play-ins were a bit crazy, and now you got any team can really kind of go on a run. I feel that like the media really doesn't talk much about Denver. Like, Denver's kind of the hidden, like, nobody team people are talking about. But, you know, if they could ever stay healthy, this is a team who for the past 3 to 4 years probably has the best overall regular season record combined. But they seem to lose a body every year in the playoffs. So would it shock you if Denver made the finals? No. Like, I think they could. Like, Denver's kind of the quiet, hidden team. But, Chris, they're the ones.
And they had a weird ending to the season, too, you know? They didn't play that well. They haven't played that well in a little bit.
Hell, their coach called them soft and said, if you guys play this, we're going to bounce out of playoffs.
Uh-huh. And Murray kind of messed up his thumb a little bit, and they have been stumbling, but that third quarter, they looked damn good last night, I'll tell you that. 32-14.
Yes, they did. So we're going to start in the West. The first Western Conference play-in game, or excuse me, playoff game after the play-ins was Golden State-Sacramento. I am a Golden State fan. I became a fan of them when they were with the Baron Davis magical run against the Mavs. I'm not a bandwagon jumper. I luckily chose them. And they,
in this sport, yes.
Yeah, in this
sport.
They've won me a lot of games, and I've enjoyed watching this team. And I think that this dynasty is about to end here soon, but again, could they do it? Possibly, sure, absolutely. But for the first game of game one in the series, the Kings, who had not had a playoff game for 16 years, were able to become victorious 126-123. If you've been listening to the media, Mike Brown's idea of how to win the series is to have his team run. And you have I believe that statistically, Chris, the two most up-tempo teams in the playoffs. So if you're looking for fun games to watch, you should see high-scoring games every game of the series. Golden State actually came out in the first half and had a bit of a lead kind of throughout the whole first half. They were up 6.5, 5.5. But that's because Sacramento came out cold. Probably some first-half jitters, probably people were nervous, the stadium was going nuts. They started out shooting 0-15 on threes, which is rare for a team because they're shot the three ball really well all year. They're the highest scoring team in the league, or right up there with Golden State. So the Kings got a little nervous lately. They came out a little sluggish. And the Warriors, that team has seen it all, been through it all. You know, they're not going to – I mean, obviously, like I said, the Kings' environment was crazy. But guys like Curry and Klay, what is a road game for them? Like, those guys have been doing it for about –
Well, they sure didn't play good on the road this year, I'll tell you that. But, yeah, you're right.
No, you're right. And yeah, on the road this year, the Warriors were horrendous. They had a record of, like, 11-30. It was embarrassing. But, you know, for a playoff atmosphere, those guys, when Cleveland was going nuts, LeBron and everything else. So
before you recap the whole thing, let me jump in there a little bit.
Sure.
Some keys. It looked like Golden State, not going to run away with it, but it looked like they had enough cushion in there for a little bit that it looked like, okay, they're starting to pull away a little bit. And then Sac made that, you know, comeback. Sac didn't really, I mean, 12 of 32 overall, didn't shoot great. One of the big points or big items there, offensive rebounds, 17-9, you know, coming into this series, they're great on offense, but real mediocre on defense. I got to give them credit for defense in this game.
Yeah, their defense picked it up later. They really did. I thought one of the keys to the game, which I thought would benefit Golden State in the second half, was Looney really kind of controlled the low post and like really shut down Sabonis, because Sabonis had a hell of a year. So I was like, you know what? At halftime, I felt pretty good because I feared Curry and Klay would get a little hotter and Sabonis had been controlled by Looney. But someone named De'Aaron Fox really, really took over in the second half. And that dude, he kind of just did his own thing in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. Mike Brown told the halftime announcers, say, hey, we want to run in the second half. And they did. They went on a run. They went on a nice, like, 15-2 run because Mike Brown, who obviously was a Golden State assistant coach for some of their titles, he knows them as well as anyone else does, as well as Steve Kerr. His theory was, if we're going to beat Golden State, we got to do it in transition and not let them set up a half-court defense, because Golden State's always been a pretty half-court savvy defensive team. But the Kings, with their younger team and quicker team, if you don't let teams set up a half-court defense, it's easy to expose them, and they did. De'Aaron Fox had a hell of a game. He probably is going to go off every game in the series from the looks of it. And Malik Monk, who's never probably turned out to be a great player in the NBA, like he's been decent, he kind of went off too. He had himself a hell of a game. He dropped 32 points, and freaking Trey Lyles, who's some just random dude, hit four threes, and man, every three he hit was kind of a momentous point. So as the Kings won the third quarter, 36-29, obviously they had momentum. The place was going crazier. They had the cowbells going. Chris, that led us to having a really entertaining fourth quarter.
Yeah, most definitely did. Sorry, it's kind of like you're chopping up a little bit, but it did. And like I said, that they had that little lead, and then it shrunk up, and it's kind of back and forth down the stretch. Both teams kind of looked like they had a great chance to win it. Wiggins had an open look. The last shot was a tough one, you know, having to kind of put it up one hand, one foot for Curry. But, Fox, man, once he gets decided, and he usually decides that he's going to the rack, he can just eat you up. And he doesn't have to get all the way to the rack. He's really good at looking like he's going to try to put his head down and drive, then pull up from like 8 or 10 or 12 feet. He's really great at that. And then he led the league in points in the clutch time, which we know the clutch time is 5 minutes, 5-point game. He was the best player in clutch this year. And he was exactly that. And overall, though, I thought it was a good showing considering. And I think ultimately we'll see that defense catch up to Sacramento, or there, should I say lack of defense. I want to give him a lot of credit for that first game, but I think ultimately Golden State, just to get to the prediction part of this, because we're going to predict all the series too, I think Golden State will get this thing done. Had they have won game one, I'd say game six. Maybe it'll be seven, but I say Golden State in six or seven.
I'm going to stick with you and take Golden State in six. I do think that the Sacramento team is fun. They're exciting. I'm happy for that fan base. That's been a legit diehard fan base. And again, I know that Steve Kerr knows so much more than I ever will, but I do think that they went
about
under
basketball.
Yes, but man, they went under the screens so many times, and Wiggins kind of has become their new like best defender for the Warriors. Last year, Clay is just not quite as fast as he used to be, but there were so many times in the game of game one where like Malik Monk or De'Aaron Fox would do a pick and roll and they went under the screens. It was like time and time again, they'd hit a three. So I'm guessing that must have been like a scouting report idea. I'm assuming tonight when that game starts here in a little while that will be not quite the case. Like you can't let De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk hit three after three after three on you and give them a lot of space. Maybe those guys shot lights out. Maybe that's the best performance they'll have all playoff series, but I think the defense will be a little more aggressive because if you let both those guys get hot again, then it could be a situation where Myatt Coles and I just made the wrong pick for that series. But and lastly, I think Curry gets on a little bit of a heater tonight. He had himself a pretty chill game. Like he didn't have that moment where he hit 10 in a row, or Clay had a quick stretch during the fourth quarter, but they did a good job of maintaining Curry, and he didn't really get on too hot of a streak. He had a kind of a quieter game for his standards. And this is simply not the deepest team as they've used to be. Like DiVincenzo is one of their better players, and that guy's not like one of the stars they used to have. So I'd be curious to see. I'm with you, Chris. I do think they went in six. I think there would be fun high scoring games, and I don't think we'll see any 87-92 wins in this series. I think it's going to be 115s, 120s all series, which is great for viewing fans and everyone else involved.
All right, on to the Memphis Grizzlies and the L.A. Lakers. A very competitive game. I thought down the stretch that, you know, both teams, you know, had a legit chance to win it. And I'm talking about not the stretch of, like, maybe the last few minutes, of course. It did seem like, you know, the Lakers would get up and then, you know, Memphis would kind of come back, get up, come back. And they actually, you know, look, it was an even game, basically. Was it if 65 to 59, Memphis had a good second quarter. Obviously, Ja going out in this game, you know, weighs heavily on this, no doubt. Like, it's a major thing. Now, I have seen on, you know, the NBA Twitter that, you know, flashing the record of no Ja Morant. That is true. If you look at the last season without Ja, they played really good, but let's remember that's during the regular season. Okay, so that's a different game. Pretty much kick and tack, you know, for the third quarter. I think that's where the Lakers made the run in the third quarter, kind of mid to late in stretch. You know, I think they got into double digits for a second, but they were up 96-90, and they just got really hot. Down the stretch, they shot 53% from the field, hit 16 threes, and besides that, the shoulder thing from Davis, for a second, you're like, oh no, did the shoulder come out? You know, like, what's going on? Because that's basically like AD, you know, that's really what's holding them back from being, you know, the top five, top seven guy, hands down. In the league, it's just been injuries the last couple of years. You know, the healthy year that they had where they both came in healthy, we saw what happened. But, you know, I just think they shot better and the role players played better. And obviously Reeves down the stretch, you know, made a lot of buckets. And Gonzaga center or power forward center, Shimir, what's his name?
Hachimura.
I mean, he played phenomenal. 5 of 6 from three, 29 points. They had a really good all-around game. And they just, down the stretch, they put the game out of reach.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, this is probably as true for any sport, kind of you understand, like whoever has the best quarterback won a football game. Whoever has the best players on the court in basketball, normally you can say is a good chance of winning. And there's, if healthy and locked in, there's no team in basketball that seriously has two better players than LeBron and AD, if healthy and locked in. I know LeBron's older, but the dude still he can still ball out. Anthony Davis is one of the toughest players to guard in basketball. So if these guys have a rhythm going, good luck beating them. Who gives a shit that they're the seventh seed? This team is loaded. And for the last 2 months of the season, they've been playing arguably the best basketball in the league. Their defense has been incredible. And when you have two stars, that gives less pressure on your role players, and those role players are really developing. I know I'm sure my co-host would wish that Vanderbilt was still on the team because that dude's a hell of a defender, or at least was in Minnesota at his time there. Russell can score. This Reeves kid just keeps to keep getting better and better as time goes. And Dennis Schroeder, like, that dude's a legit veteran who's been in the playoffs for about the past 5 or 6 years. As a backup point guard, there ain't many better. I'm not saying he's, like, an elite player, but when you have, like, 7 years of playoff experience and you just can score, like, that's a good piece to have. They have so many pieces. And Anthony Davis, plus 27 game one. D'Angelo Russell, plus 20. Like, that team, Chris, if they just keep sticking to what they're doing of late, and you have LeBron AD healthy, and you have guys surrounding them who are, you know, they're the right pieces. Like a couple years ago, the Lakers had LeBron AD, but they kept trying to, like, fix the people around them, and it didn't mesh. Like, obviously,
it's funny too because that original players, they've done good, their original role players. They've done good where they've been at, and maybe they shouldn't have got as many of those guys that the whole media and fan base is like, dude, get rid of it. What the hell? This, they won the championship with those guys. Maybe they should have got rid of all those. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. And then,
but you're right. The fit is better. Fit is better.
This fit is good. And now to also say the for Memphis, again, this team, they have their swag to them. This team talks a lot of trash. But you can say, what has this team accomplished? They've had, for the last handful of years, they've had very good regular seasons. But, and I'm not necessarily a hater.
Last two years.
They do talk their fair amount of smack. But big picture, what have they accomplished truly? Now, this team does have Jaren Jackson, who won Defensive Player of the Year. Bain is a great three-point shooter, good wing player. Ja Morant is up there with, like, top 10 toughest players to guard. So this team is good, but it's almost
– on the outside, too.
Yeah, but it's almost just, like, the way they carry themselves, they've almost, like, achieved more verbally than they have on the court. Like, could this team win the series? 100%. Now, they need Ja to be healthy, but – this is a good team, Chris, but are they going to be able to step over a huge hurdle and knock off LeBron AD? I'm not sure. It's almost just like a lot of times, like for the Warriors, they went through the growing pains of losing like some series to the Spurs and the Clippers. They kind of finally nudged their way up there and built their way up. It's almost like when you listen to the guys talk, like Memphis is like, they feel they're there. But this team, I think they have to continue to maybe go through a couple of growing pains. Obviously, this LeBron AD is going to be a huge challenge. But this Memphis team is good as hell. The record they had in the tough West they had this year was phenomenal. It's no joke of a team. But do they have the veteran experience in the overall team to knock this Lakers team off? I'm not sure they do, especially if Ja's wrist is acting up on him now too, Chris.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, not having Adams, and for sure not having Brandon Clark, who he was an offensive rebound killer against the Wolves last year.
He's a good 5-tool guy.
Yeah, and he comes in off the bench, and he's just a good-ass player. And we know, you know, Triple J, really solid young player, man, no doubt. But he gets a lot of fouls. So, you know, he plays a huge role. I think that hurts him too. And being a Minnesota sports fan in general, I really know the coulda, woulda, shouldas. You know, coulda, we coulda. If we woulda, man, we shoulda. You know, I've been through that, right? But coulda, woulda, shoulda last year, when you look at those three games out of six games in that series to give up 10-point leads in the fourth quarter, the experience level of the main hitters for L.A., and they basically got the same team back, right, except without Clark. Because Adams didn't – well, Adams got – it was a little different last year because Adams got played off the floor because that's when Cat was on five and he can't do nothing with Cat, so that's why he didn't play much in that series. But he's still a good-ass piece, especially for if you want to – you know, they draw a lot of fouls, as we know, the Lakers, historically. But this team, they draw a lot of fouls, whether you think that's the NBA playing games or not, they do. And so that those pieces don't help, you know, as well. Now, was it a six-game series or seven? Was it six games last year with Golden State? Or was it seven?
Oh, God.
Either way.
Yeah.
I mean, they won the chip, right? And they gave Golden State plenty to think about in that series, including like a 40-point victory or whatever that was, right? Like, they haven't done a ton. That is true. And they do carry themselves a little over the top. No doubt. Well, more than a little.
Six-game series.
So, that 134-95. That was that one game. They did get beat by the champs, right? So, which way more experience and all that. But even with the healthy Ja, I like the Lakers. And I'm going to be, you know, like a broken record, game six or game seven. Being that they won game one, I feel like it's going to be game six in L.A.
And I will say, with Ja, if his wrist is hurt, they do have a lot of experience playing without him. Last year he was hurt. This year he was hurt.
They got a great record.
Yeah.
They got a great record without him.
And this year, obviously.
In the regular season.
Yeah, he had a little bit of his trouble. Okay, no one's perfect. Okay, if I had a lot of money at his age, I'd probably be making some dumb choices too. So, you know.
I wouldn't be flashing guns at a club, but yes, no. You're right. No one's perfect.
True. I don't know if I'd do that, but.
I'd do some other dumb shit.
Yes. But with that being said, with him off the court in the playoff time, you know, he is their go-to guy. Yeah. He had some playoff games last year against Minnesota and Golden State where he was really hard to guard. And they don't
have. He's getting a triple double. If his shot's off, he's getting a triple double.
Yeah, and then that makes a guy like Desmond Bain, who's a great shooter, open. When Ja Morant can feed and distribute the ball, he's open. Desmond Bain's not going to take you off the dribble so much. He really kind of is the piece that clicks it, because when one guy's almost unguardable, he gets them all rolling. So I'm going to take Lakers in five. I think if the wrist is banged up and if they dig themselves a hole and get down 2-0 in Memphis, that they'll be sent home packing in Memphis again for game five. So I'll take Lakers a little quickly. And that Lakers team, man, they're trending the right way. I know a lot of times in NBA seeds, the seeds do matter. This is a 7 seed, but man, this is a brutal ass 7 seed because this team is not playing like a 7 seed normally would. So I'll take Lakers in five.
And talent-wise, it's banged up. But talent-wise, you wouldn't really look at the Wolves as an AC, you know, talent-wise.
True.
And you damn sure wouldn't look at the 5th, 6th, 7th seed as those seats if you look at the talent. So, you're right about that. It's definitely not just the Lakers, Golden State. Like, every lower seed doesn't look like that, but 3 out of the 4 performed a lot better, especially in the third quarter. Keep bringing that up because I'm a Timberwolves fan. We're not going to go deep into that series. I just did a show about it. But, you know, it is what it is. Now, shorthanded Clippers upset Phoenix. No champagne. Cameron Payne, doubtful for that game. Didn't play doubtful for the next game. I got to admit, I forgot about that. We hadn't played him not long ago, the Timberwolves. And he always tears us up. And he was a key component in that game. That's huge because they relied on 6 players basically getting the majority of the minutes. And when you look at some of these starters, and yeah, you know, Booker's a fresh player. We get that part, man. We definitely do. But 45 minutes for Durant. This thing didn't go into overtime. Chris Paul, 39 minutes. I repeat, this thing didn't go into overtime. Wow. I mean, they have some good role players. Okogie's a good role player just for minutes. He was in the starting lineup not long ago. You know, the center coming off the bench can get block shots, but they really need that key player because if they're going to – we know their bench, they're figuring it out. You know, they've only played 8 games together or 9 games. I think they're 8-0. This is their first loss. But – we could say this and that and that, and I brought up, you know, freaking campaign, but, you know, they didn't have freaking Paul George. Now, given the Clippers do have experience going far in the playoffs and playing above their level, missing a star, we saw that with Leonard not long ago with, you know, when they had him out. Boy, he looked like he's ready to go, and all that load management is going to pay off. Paul George, according to quote-unquote sources, will not come back for this series. Now, it's sources. It's not an official thing from the team. They haven't ruled them out or whatever, as far as I've seen. Maybe something popped up lately. But even if it's to game 5, 6, 7, that would be a while to get them back. But to get that first game, Marshall, that's key. And we know that, you know, the whole core of, or the two great players haven't played a lot of games together per se, considering they've been together for a while. We know that's been an issue. But whether the guys have been on this team here for a while or been in the playoffs for a while, these guys have played a lot and they're deep. I mean, they didn't play Covington. They didn't play Morris Sr. They didn't play some of these guys. So They're deep, and they're not afraid to. I mean, Westbrook had one of the best 3-19 games you can have, you know. He'll probably shoot better, but will he play as dynamic a defense down the stretch, you know? Is this a one-off, or is this a seven-game series, my friend? Because that's a big, big win. And we know, gluing this thing together mid-season, look what happened to Dallas, right? Look what happened to Dallas when they made a trade. They went from, like, third or fourth and dropped the fuck out. So we know they haven't had an extra 15, 18 games that they normally would have after this trade for Durant. Gluing it together and then depth. This one's going seven or six, in my opinion.
Oh, man. I'll be a little quicker on this one because it's not the Warriors or LeBron. I think that the biggest issue,
like about seven guys on this team too. No, I'm just kidding.
I think the biggest issue is if you look at the Suns bench, only one player played over single digit minutes. That was Shamet or Landry Shamet from Wichita State. Shamet Shamet. Okay. He played 24 minutes. He was minus 14. Wainwright minus 12. Okogie minus 10. Biombo minus 11. Lindale minus 8. And Ross minus 1. So the whole bench was freaking minus. So that tells you that when the Suns ever did make subs to use the bench played like shit. And as you said, all the stars were playing almost over 35 minutes to everyone apiece, a couple of them 40 or higher. So I think that's a massive issue, Chris. A, the Suns have less of a bench. B, you know the Clippers, when they play at home, do crazy weird shit in the playoffs. Like, this team at home, it's they've had some last couple of games last years where, like, Terrence Mann becomes, like, a Curry Clay mold of into one. Like, so the fact you won game one and the fact that KD and Chris Paul and Booker only played together for nine games in the regular season, I just think all these signs of a lack of a bench, lack of a cohesiveness, and KD can't do it all on his own. And mind you, if healthy, Kawhi is pretty much on a given night just as good as KD. Like, but it's just the dude seems to pretty much take a – it seems like he's disappeared for the last 3 years. So with all that being said, I'll take the Clippers. I think they'll win in game six on their home turf. Just the lack of depth. And, again, if it's a head-to-head – Kawhi versus KD, at least this Clippers team has just a little more team chemistry. And for their bench, Chris, they had nine players play. The lowest played minute guy was Bones Highland. He played 13 minutes. He was plus 13.
And that's a tight game. It wasn't so sort of a blowout, you know?
Yeah. And so, I mean, the Clippers bench probably 18 minutes plus 16. Bones Highland plus 13 minutes. Terrence Mann, who's a playoff special freak, plus 13, 24 minutes. And Norman Powell plus 11. So their bench offered points, and actually some of the starters for the Clippers were minus. So I just think that there's too much ride against Clippers or against Suns from a statistical standpoint. Yeah, so I'll take Clippers in six.
There you go. I'm going to take the Suns in seven. I like Denver to win. Not much to talk about in the first game. If you disagree and you think, you know, the Timberwolves are going to win, go ahead and say it. But other than that, as far as and just kind of breezing through the other – now, I think Boston – if Philly just won, they're up 2-0 now. So when you look at, I think if Boston and Philly are going to roll, I don't think that's going to be that great of a series. Maybe the other team gets one. I don't think they get two. Being up 2-0 really helps your sweep, but we'll see. I think it'll be, five games or whatever. So that kind of knocks those two out, in my opinion. Now,
Do you think your Wolves win a game in Minneapolis, or they somehow maybe win two games in Minneapolis?
They got a chance to win two. It kind of matters, Rudy and Ant, health wise, but maybe. But I don't think they're going to get swept.
Fair enough.
Now, So those two series, I like those within five games, both of them. Could be a sweep, yes, but I don't think either one will go six, in my opinion. Okay. Now, Miami in Milwaukee is kind of funky because of Giannis. And just this, not, I think Milwaukee wins the series, no doubt. It's not a, especially with Hero out now. Now, it makes it interesting because, you know, the Heat won game one and we don't know where Giannis is. So I'm kind of looking long term. Even if they have to go six or seven games, I think Milwaukee will win even without a full strength Giannis. The only thing I look at that series is, even though the MRI, I'm looking at the thing right now, it says, not the actual MRI, but, you know, it says it was a clean bill. He's optimistic. Bucks are optimistic that he'll play in game two. I think they're very capable of winning that series with a 50 to 75% or miss in one or two games. Maybe I think that they could still do it, Milwaukee, because they have a lot of parts. They have guys that could take over. They have they're a deep team. They're a solid team. They've been glued together for a while. So that's basically my thought on that series. And the biggest one is, you know, the Knicks in Cleveland, and the fact that the Knicks, you know, got the job done in game one. Before we get to that one, where we'll break that series down a little bit, what are your thoughts in general? You know, I mean, do you think, you know, without Giannis that Miami could win that series? Or do you think they will? I mean, if they could have, would have, should have. But do you think they will? Because I still think they got the team, the depth to beat them.
You know, it was funny because I was talking to my coach on a way to a game, and it was weird how the Heat have, like, they had that run, Chris, where it was like Duncan Robinson, the Hero, and Butler and Bam. They really kind of, like, you know, they made the title. And then I was saying about how that this was there for the play-in, their second play-in game, and I was like, you know, I feel like that team is kind of taking a step down the playoff time because as Duncan Robinson kind of got, you know, exposed and not quite the player he was, it kind of like became like Strus and Vincent were like their two main guards along with Butler. And I just felt like those guys were kind of just, whenever I watch them play, just not quite the same players they were. And then in that play-in game, you know, Strus drops 34 with Butler and they win. And I was like, kind of had to shut my mouth that night. So I still don't know if this team of Strus and Vincent and Butler, now with Hero out, can carry a team. This is probably the most, along with Golden State, the most East Coast, most veteran savvy team left in the playoffs, yeah, for the East side. Now, I'm not saying they're the best, but
this, I agree, team, they've been there, done that.
And Udonis Haslem, that dude, they keep him around every year, literally as a player coach. But this is last year. But if there was one team that could beat a team that they're less skilled than, and you know Jimmy Butler's a dog come playoff time, it wouldn't surprise me if it was Miami. Like, again, they shot lights out game one. Can they do that again? I'm not sure. But I don't see Milwaukee sweeping them in Miami. Like, this Heat team, it's like there's too much veteran savviness for me to just say, hey, like, Milwaukee's going to come and clean up shop. Because my same coach I was talking to, she's like, oh, I think Milwaukee's going to sweep Miami. Like, easy. That's a 4-0 sweep. And on paper, you know, probably maybe look that way to some people. But Giannis maybe takes a game off. You never know. Like, I'll take the Bucks. I think the Bucks win in I can't backtrack. I think the Bucks win in seven. I think that Miami is able to defend their home turf a little bit. You already got one in the pocket, so at very worst it's the Heat losing five. But I'll take the Bucks in seven. I think the Heat win another one with Jimmy doing special things, because that's what he does in the playoffs. So yeah, Bucks in seven. I'll stick too much savviness, I think, for that team to get bounced out quicker than that.
And then what's your thought process with the other two series before we get to Cleveland and in the Knicks? Because I feel like those are five game max.
Yeah. The only thing I heard negative about Boston was people really, the players haven't really bought in with the coach. Like, the knock is that they don't really trust the guy. Obviously, that Udoka guy was maybe not
funky, the nice first funky option scenario.
But yeah, it's rare that you hear the actual media reports about how the players and the team doesn't really gel well with the coach. That's not something you normally hear from a team that's having a good year. Like, it's one thing to trash a coach when a team's having a bad season, but Boston went 57-25, and the players don't buy in with the coach. So it kind of makes you think, like, huh, like, those reports must be true, and they are winning games, but they're clearly not buying into them entirely. That does scare me down the road. You're going to play a better team. I do think they have enough skill, though, with, like, Brown Tatum to...
But their talent, exactly.
Yeah, the talent. Talent for this round, sure. So I'm with you. I think maybe Atlanta wins one game at home. They seem to do that every series, you know. And I'm with you also, 76ers. But my only thing with him, Chris, is, like, this team has been hyped for, like, the last decade. And you have still yet to make an Eastern Conference
final. It hasn't
finals.
Been a decade. Calm down.
It's been decade. Close.
10 years?
It's at least been 7 or 8
years.
Where the NBA media covers
that's
not loves
10 years.
The,
no, just
okay, within 7 well, to 10 years.
Major market with an MVP caliber guy, so you know it's been years and years. This is the year.
But it's like, man, that team is yet to make an Eastern Conference Finals. Like, do something for me,
Philly. They
didn't
even make the playoffs in 2015. Remember, they were on the damn, how long did it make? They didn't even make the, come on, hold on. They were trusting the process.
Oh.
2017-2018 is the first time they made it to the second round. So
right. It feels like 10 years.
They were trusting the process for half of your day.
All right, so, okay, so come on. My numbers are off a little bit, but since the process has been created or moved on
no,
to the next
right.
chapter.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. The last 4 to 5 years for sure.
It's been a lot of hype, so prove it to me. Like, maybe have this year be the year where you make a run, and then we'll see.
At least to the conference finals, you know?
Yeah, no, it's Cam Thomas probably have to drop 45 in one game. I don't know if he can, but this one, out of all the series to predict a sweep, I think this would be your best chance for a sweep out of any in the NBA. So, but yeah, maybe a gentleman sweep or regular sweep. I don't know. We'll see about that. But, yeah, I think Boston and 76ers should easily get through. Hopefully no injuries, you know, come up. Because, man, for Philly, that seems like Harden or Embiid have always seemed to get hurt. And then kind of Maxie has to do a lot of stuff with,
especially,
you know.
Embiid, man.
But, yeah.
Embiid's one of those guys, you know, that just has that vibe. Uh-huh. He'll get hurt at the worst
yep.
time. He's got that Chris Paul thing, except way younger in his years at the time.
True.
So we got the Knicks come up with a big win. It's not like neither team shot the lights out by any stretch. If you look at, they had an advantage the Knicks did on the boards, 51-38. That was pretty big. They just finished it off. The points off turnovers were huge for Cleveland. The Tibbs was basically like, all right, Mitchell, you're going to get yours. Make everyone else beat you. And, you know, some guys on the team did have you keep them under 100 and the Knicks are going to win a lot of games. You could say that all about a lot of teams. Sure. Brunson went off. Bird had a really very mediocre game. Hart was big. I don't know. Like I said, I thought Allen had a good game. Some people had good games. Mobley didn't really. But, it just gave me that Tibbs vibe of, all right, dude, you know, you're going to get yours, but who else is going to beat us? We're going to force them to win the series.
What surprised me about this series was it was a very trendy pick in Vegas for people to take the Cavs to win the series by a game and a half. So that was kind of like one where I obviously didn't see the teams play that much this year. But when I was like, damn, if everyone's staying in Cleveland to win the series by at least two games, I was like, well, shit. And then to see the scoreboard finish the way it did, I was like, all right, well, I'm happy I didn't follow that pick in Vegas because if you need the Cavs to win a series by two games now, they can't. Well, they got to pretty much sweep them.
Right.
And even in the game, just when I was watching, the Cleveland had a bit of a lead in the third quarter. And I was like, okay, you're at home. You're going to take care of business. And, you know, Randle had been a little banged up near the end of the season, so I don't think he had a 100% healthy Julius Randle. I mean, I think he's obviously okay to play, but maybe not 100%. So all the signs of what I was hearing was like, all right, well, Cleveland's going to win the series pretty easily, you know. But as you said, you lose game one at home court, which obviously is pretty rare in the NBA. Normally the NBA is you protect your home turf pretty well. I'm with you, Chris. The one interesting thing is that the Thibodeau is normally always like kind of a defensive mastermind. I know that game one was low scoring, but the Knicks actually played at a super high pace this year. He kind of flipped his own script for once.
Yeah.
Because if you look at like the Knicks were like really up tempo and like kind of played a different ball, like Tibbs forever in Chicago and Minnesota. And even with the Knicks has pretty much been kind of a really defensive oriented guy. And this year, if you look back, especially like the last month of the season, the Knicks were having lots of like 110, 115 games, and that's not really been his MO. So maybe he's got a different type of DNA with this team, and maybe that's going to work for him. Like, it surprised me. And obviously come playoff time, you're going to see teams with lower scoring games in general, just because playoff teams buckle down more and you always have that game plan. But I mean, Brunson, the guy that Mark Cuban was complaining about losing a few weeks ago, he scored 27. That dude proved he was a playoff gamer last year, and he showed again this year. And again, we've kind of talked about bench for a couple of series on our podcast today. If Josh Hart's dropping the 17 off the bench, that's, you know, hell, we'll take that any day. So I'm with you, Chris. I think this series does go long. But if you have the idea, mindset of, okay, as you've said a few times, Mitchell, we'll let you score 35 a game. Cool. But kind of like that, you know, Jordan theory of like, we'll let Jordan, yeah, I mean, granted, Jordan, bad example, but teams like, let Jordan get his and try to stop everyone else. Okay.
Yeah. Shaq. I mean, there's been plenty of this stuff. Yep.
And so if your theory is, okay, Mitchell, you go do you. Okay. We're going to let you do that. Is a player like Garland or Mobley going to be able to, you know, kind of be the Batman or Robin? I don't know. Like,
right.
Mobley had a tremendous year, but is he a guy that can carry you coattails when Tibbs has a game plan surrounded to slow down Mitchell? And Garland, like, I think people kind of like the guy. He's been pretty good for the past handful of years.
Yeah, he's good.
He is.
Good young
but
player.
Again, is he a higher level caliber player come playoff time? I don't know. We'll have to see.
I'll see it.
All right, so if I had to pick this series, which obviously we need to do, I think Knicks win at home was big. I think you have a little bit of a coaching edge. And Madison Square Garden is another one of those just fun places, much like Oracle. And the Knicks normally don't get embarrassed in Madison Square Garden, normally. So I will take Knicks to win the series on their home turf.
They have a Robin now, the Knicks. You know, they have a real deal Robin now who played it. You know, for Dallas was going off. He was the Robin last year for Luka.
Yeah, and those games when Luka was out resting, he did his part. I will take the Knicks to win in Madison Square. I think they win it in six.
I was going to say the same thing, and I'm going to say it. Madison Square Garden going nuts. I just love outside that arena is so awesome. When they get the video and see the Knicks fans after a victory or before, they're just
oh yeah,
they are funny as hell. Much better than those damn Laker, you know, fans. Then again, if the Knicks have been dominant as the Lakers in the last 20 some years, they'd probably be assholes too. yeah, I'm right there with you. Any last words before we get out of here, sir?
No, I would just say if you're looking to maybe wager on the series, as we've talked about, because obviously betting can be fun, make sure you check out like the status of like a Ja or a Giannis, because like players like that, obviously, you know, that can dictate a series price. Or if Giannis is out for a game, maybe they rest him for game two, the Heat probably won't be a bad team to maybe consider betting for a series price, or at least, you know, like, Ja and Giannis are such huge factors that those can kind of dictate gambling edges. And obviously you're trying to make your money this time of the year. You want to check the injury reports. And Chris, I hope that these are the last injuries we hear about, because I feel like for the last, like the 3 years of NBA playoffs, we've had injury bugs like crazy.
Yep.
And we already
Every
have
round,
it now.
Too. Every damn round.
like, can we just, like, let these guys, like, just really show the team there? Could we have a year where, and I'm not saying I'm a fan of these teams, but could Denver and Clippers have, like, a healthy roster and see if they can make the finals? Like, those teams every year are so great, and then they have bad luck. So I hope that we don't have injury bugs creep up, because it kind of kills what, you know, what how fun these series can be. I know they happen, but hopefully a clean bill of health for these teams as the playoffs progress. So,
all right, get us out of here, sir.
On that note, we will be back again next Monday. I don't think any of the series will be over quite yet. I mean, there could be a 4-game sweep. We hope not. So, stay safe, stay warm. I know there's still some crazy weather going on this year, which makes no sense at all. Florida got like 20 inches of rain in a day, which is insane, or something like 6 inches.
Dude, we had 4 days of 80 last week. 4 days Jesus. Of 80 degrees last week. And now the temperature dropped back down, yeah.
So stay safe, stay warm, enjoy watching basketball. We appreciate the love and support. We'll be back next Monday. The boys are out tonight. Peace.